Amen.
Amen.
And good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see your faces this morning, although I can't hardly see some of you. I know my, as I get older, my eyesight is getting a little trying, but God is good. Thank him for waking us up this morning. Another beautiful day he's blessed us to see. I'm so happy to be here in your fellowship here at the Highland Heights Church of Christ. I'll see some new and old friends. Some of you from Fifth Ward shooting hooky. But I won't ask you to stand, but thank you for following your preacher. We appreciate you so much. Love you so much. Brother Stroud, you're so gracious. Brother Horace Stroud is definitely one of my dear friends. We have known each other in laboring in the Lord and had private conversations about the church, about the work of the Lord, here, not only here in the city and other places. And so I kind of feel at home.
Amen.
Here in Highland Heights. You know, I stole one of the Acres Homes sweetest years ago. I had never been to Acres Home when I was little. I grew up in Cashmere Garden on that side. And I started, I met this young lady and, made a trip out here from, at that time I thought it was another side of the world. And I drove out here. I said, oh no, I'm not coming back out here. It's too far. But I've been coming ever since. And my beautiful wife is here with me today. My rock, my fortress, my biggest cheerleader, and she's here. A couple of my grandkids are here. Other members of the body are here, and so I'm glad to be here. How you feeling today?
Amen.
I love your theme. I love your theme. A more spiritual me in 2023. And so I know we are all striving. It kind of ties into my lesson. Some of you look like you're ready for me to get started and sit down. I know several of you, family. I wish I could call your names, but it's just good to see everybody. You know, COVID happened and you know, and then we separated and we come back and you know, the mask, I can't hardly see who the face is. I know some of us are still wearing masks and I appreciate you for doing that because, this thing is still something traveling around and still have some of us ill. So we definitely appreciate that, but there's a different feeling. A different feeling, a different challenge for the church leaders as we strive to bring our congregations back together and strive to encourage each other. Some still not back physically. Thank the Lord for technology and that we can at least appear virtually to those who are unable for health reasons to come back. Some who just choose not to come back for whatever the reasons. But we still encourage you. We want everybody to come back. But we might as well say it. It's the same challenge at the Fifth Ward Church. We have many coming back, but some are still for whatever reasons. And we know you have to deal with that on your own. But being a Christian is a fellowship.
Amen.
Yeah. It's a fellowship. That's how God made us. In the early church, in the book of Acts chapter 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching. In fellowship. Yeah, you can't replace fellowship.
Amen.
You can't replace seeing somebody and touching somebody, talking to somebody, ministering to somebody face to face. You can't eat through virtual. You know, you can't eat a meal. You can't eat food at the table with somebody virtually.
Amen.
And so we encourage, we know you come, we know some of you coming back. We just have to encourage one another. My lesson title this morning kind of ties in with your theme. I didn't know what the theme was. If you want a title, it's the goal. The goal is maturity. The goal is maturity. You know, when I was little, I remember, it must have been before school started, because I remember I used to love to play when I was little. Play outside, play with my brothers and sisters and friends. And I remember it was time, we were getting ready to go to school, and I was terrified. I didn't want to go to school. And I told my mama, I said, Mama, I'm not going to school. I wanted to stay little. No responsibilities. I just felt like, you know, life was just all about fun. But it's not, is it?
That's right.
It's not, is it? You know, we know the greatest choice we can make as those who are accountable is the choice to choose salvation. Amen. It's to choose to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest decision that we can make in life. Some folks don't recognize it yet, but it is the greatest decision. But truly, the New Testament, the majority of the New Testament is written to Christians, to those who've made that choice. So really, if you think about it, though we've made that choice, it really is only the beginning of our life. It's only the beginning of our journey through life. And we do know that we're on a journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really recognize that God expects us to grow? God expects us to not stay the same maturity level as we live our lives. And I want to read a passage of scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And beginning at verse number 11. You can relax, but don't relax too much. Don't relax too much. Paul, he writes to the church, to Christians, to saints, so it's to us also. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Underline spake as a child. Mm-hmm. Now, he's writing to grown folks, folks who've made the decision to be saved. It says, I understood as a child. Underline understood. And then it says, I thought as a child, underlined thought. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Amen.
That's what the scripture says. That's what your Bible say?
Mm.
It says, when I was a child. And see, Paul is not a child when he's writing this. Maturity is I'm a note preacher, and because I have to stay on track. I start talking and I get all over the place. Maturity is a destination that we never fully reach on this side. See, so that means that we all are at different maturity levels. We need to understand that in the church so we can tolerate each other. See, some of us, some of us may have just made the choice and we're saved. Some of us, like I grew up in the church, I learned the books of the Bible by the age of 7, 8, I knew all the books of the Bible. Because I went to Bible class, my mother and dad brought me to church, I went to all the Bible class. There's some folk who grown.
Amen.
Who get baptized, they don't know that Malachi is even in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so it's nothing wrong with that because all of us are ignorant of something, but we gotta remember in the church we have different individuals who are at different maturity levels. None of us know it all anyway. And so we all are still growing. Am I in the right place? Are we all still growing in the Lord? Oh, see, we family. We are the body. We are different maturity levels and we need to understand that. But we are on a journey. And we're trying to do better. We're trying to live better. We're trying to be better in every single way. And that's what God expects of us. He's saying so. We are on a journey. We're striving forward. And see, our maturity as Christians should be demonstrable. What do you mean, Brother Gary? That means that it ought to be visible in our lives.
Amen.
It ought to be visible by other people because we live in the world of people and people are our product. People are what the individuals are what we are, is what is the most important. It ought to be demonstrated to people and it ought to be demonstrable to God.
Amen.
Our maturity level. So don't take this the wrong way. I'm not beating on anybody. I'm not trying to hate on anybody because I'm starting with myself.
Uh-huh.
Lord have mercy. I hope after 50 plus years in the Lord's body, I hope I'm a more knowledgeable Christian. I hope my attitude is better. I hope my relationships are better in the Lord. Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, you stay with me now. You might not be amening in a minute. Yeah, the scripture gives us parameters. It gives us parameters to honestly gauge ourselves. And I hope that that's what we would do even this morning. Because don't look at how some of us, we always think about, ooh, I wish my husband. No, worry about yourself right now. Amen, somebody. I wish so-and-so listened to this. No, it's about me. It's about me. Yeah. And so maturity. Yeah. It reveals or denies its existence. And Paul, this is what it is. I'm going back to the passage. It reveals or denies its, see you, sometimes some of us say we mature, but it's revealed. Paul says, listen to this. He says, when I was a child, verse 11, I spake as a child. See, maturity reveals itself in our speech. Yeah. And how we talk, a child talks different. Amen. Yes, a little baby can't even hardly talk. Goo goo ga ga. Then they start saying little words that daddy, like my grandkids called me big. I remember the first time my oldest grandchild, cause when I would hold her, mom and dad be saying, daddy, mama, I'd say big daddy. And, I remember the first time she said, Big Daddy, I say, go, girl. Yes, she did, boy. And that's what they call me, Big Daddy. But a child does that. A child says all kind of things, But Lord have mercy, if we grown and still can't say some words, it says something about us. It says something about us. And kids, in our speech, kids will say they'll repeat anything. Kids repeat things, don't they? Say, well, you know why they repeat this? Because they're not thinking. All they're doing is responding. They'll hear somebody say something. Sometimes a kids will say a curse word. Well, it didn't just pop in their heads.
That's right.
I know my child didn't say. Where did they get it from? You? No, excuse me. I'm not gonna say that. They got it from somebody, right? If you don't curse in your home and you have kids and your kid curses, what they got it from? They either got it from somewhere else. They heard it on the television. And as a child, you just not thinking. All you doing is talking, and you just repeat anything. A child will repeat anything. Yeah, a child is impulsive in their speech. A child is impulsive. If there was a baby in here, a baby don't care that Brother Gary's up preaching. If a baby wants some food, if you pinch a baby, if something they see that they want, they'll just cry, yell out, amen, somebody. That's what, and you kind of almost expect that out of baby many times. Children, they'll speak out of turn, don't care who talking, they will just start talking, they'll talk to each other, because they just can't control, what's going on in their head. Children have a very limited vocabulary. Some words they just haven't learned, they just don't know. But this is a child. And Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and there's no judgment. All you do is teach a child better, and you teach and teach. And he says, now look, we not children anymore. We ought to not be speaking. We ought to be able to control some of the things that come out of our mouth.
Amen.
As Christians, amen, somebody. There are, I'm not saying, I don't know where you are, but there ought to be some things that if you are growing in the Lord that ought not to come out of our mouth anymore.
Amen.
My brother, you understand, I grew up in everybody cursing my house. Well, amen. Some of us know what that's about. Some folks just say anything in their house to anybody, a child. I was in the grocery store and I heard this woman talking to her children. I'm saying, lady, be quiet. She didn't care. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Let me just say this now. This is to us. This is to the saints in here right now. if you are maturing in the Lord, should those kind of words come out of your mouth, period, and let long out in public somewhere?
Amen.
When I was a child, I spoke as a child.
Amen.
Yeah, no control over my emotion, don't care about anything going on. But when we learn better, we ought to do what?
Better.
Amen, somebody. Mm-hmm. The goal is maturity. God wants us to grow in him. Listen to what he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, not sinless, but complete in Jesus Christ. Paul, as he writes to the church in Colossae, and he writes to us, and see, we're trying to grow up in the Lord. Yeah, he says, I spake as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Lord Jesus, help our speech. Help us to say the right words. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that when I say the wrong thing, I can pray to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. But see, when we pray to the Lord and ask the Lord for forgiveness, as soon as we get through praying, we ought to be working on trying to do better.
Amen.
Anybody need some help with their temper, anybody need some help, just need to change our speech. Ooh, my goodness. I do. I used to be so impulsive, you know, sometime in my home. You know, some of you know I have three girls, and I grew up with a home with four boys and one girl. And, you know, in my house, when I was growing up, you had to talk loud. Nobody would hear you. My brothers would talk loud, and we talk loud, And so I grew up in that environment talking loud. And when I got married, I was in the house with all of the girls and when I wanted something done, I talked loud. Hey, get up, what you doing? And my wife would tell me, say, baby, you don't have to talk that loud. Calm down, you're going to have a heart attack. And I had to work on that. Mm-hmm. I had to work on my tone. As the husband and father in my home. And thank the Lord, praise Jesus. One day I was fussing at one of my daughters, and I was in another room, she was in another room, and I walked out and she was crying buffalo tears out, and I'm like, why are you crying? She said, Daddy, you scared me. And it cut my heart. Because I was just wanting her to move. And it cut my heart that I terrified her that bad because of the way I was talking. And I'm not going to tell you when it happened, but I was a child of God. I knew then that was not Christ-like. Praise Jesus. My wife would tell me, she was telling me all along, and I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm better. Thank the Lord. I'm not where I need to be, but anybody need to be better?
Amen.
Anybody need to control your tone? Mm-hmm. Ooh, help me, Jesus. He says this. He says this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner. Notice this, he uses the word in all manner of conversation. It's not just your speech, but your whole conduct. Because you know what we say, by grace through faith, we on our way to heaven, but the way we talk and act sometimes, you can't tell it.
Amen.
And see, most of our time is not spent here on Sunday morning. Amen. Yeah, most of our time, see, some of us, we're going to act right while we in here. Yeah, we not too much. I know what happens sometimes. Some of them make you mad, but we too much. We pretty much could control our speech in here most of the time. So it's not just in here. We living in the world where we are. The scripture says we as Christians ought to be the lights of the world. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we got to demonstrate that in the way we talk. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. That's truth in that. A soft answer. Sometimes I remember when I first started preaching, Brother Stroud, well, I just was trying to get my points across, and I'd be just hollering and screaming. one little boy after worship service, one of the sons, one little boy walked up to me, and I used to be the youth minister, and he walked up to me, and he said, Brother Gary, why you scream so much? And I took it. He said, why you, he said, you gonna, Bill Gary, you look like you gonna hurt yourself. and I thought about it because, you know, now that's something that it really affected me. I said, well, I don't want to look like I'm mad all the time. See, a preacher don't have, now sometimes we have to scream. Amen, Brother Stroud. Sometimes to get our point about, but we got to take it up a notch, but we don't have to do that all. Some things we need. See, I want you to feel my heart. When you want your wife or your husband to really understand. Let me ask you a question. When you really want to make a point to your wife or your husband, do you think you're going to make that point way up there? Hollering and veins popping out your head. Screaming. Don't you think this one passage in the Bible that gives this one simple antidote for solving something in your, this one path, soften your words. Baby, the point I'm trying to get across, I know you want to buy stuff for the children. I understand it. I know that you want them to look nice. I know you want to buy something, but baby, please, let's communicate. Before you spend, let's communicate what you're going to spend before you spend it so we can be on the same page. Can we do that, sweetheart?
That's going to help somebody. It helped me, I tell you what. I don't know if it helped you. It said, but grievous words stir up anger. My, listen to this. Let me move on. Proverbs 7, no, let me move, I'm going to move to a minute. In verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, he says this. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I was a child, I understood as a child. He had understanding as a child. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children. So understand this and make the point. Understand this as saint. Because some of us, we don't want no parts of school. You know, we don't want to discipline ourselves to learn nothing. Some people, because I know you're not in here this morning. Some people have closed the door to knowledge. Some people are lazy. Like I say, they're not in here this morning. But some folks won't read. They don't, some folks want to be spoon fed everything. Won't go outside. Now we read what we want to read. But some people will we act like we know something. We don't know what we talking about because we have closed our ears. We've closed our minds to getting a better understanding. Lord Jesus. I'm thank the Lord. I read more now than I've ever read before. I must admit, when I was in high school, I wasn't shy. God gave me a little gray matter. Grades came pretty easy to me, but I did just what I needed to do to make decent grades. And no more. But I have become a sponge now because I get so many questions and so many things and there's so much out there. And I say, Lord Jesus, give me the discernment to be wise in what I say and what I teach. Lord Jesus. He says this, we'd be to be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, every wind of teaching, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, and so the Holy Spirit says, he said, when I was a child, I understood as a child.
And you know, a child you can confuse. And I'm glad, and most children ask a lot of questions. Thank the Lord, they ask a lot of questions. And you can tell them anything, and they'll believe it at first. Yeah, because you just told them. Big Daddy, what's that? They'll ask you, what's this, Dad, Big Daddy? You just tell them anything. They say, oh, okay. That's what a child does, right? Yeah. And they'll believe a lie. Listen to the word of God. Listen to Acts chapter. Listen to this example in the Bible. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. Everybody still all right? You still awake? Acts chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. This is man. He's using sorcery, using trick, he's using black magic. This is centuries ago. It hadn't just started. Soothsayers haven't just started. Some of us spent our money on some junk. It used to have these 800 lines. You call, you get the psychic on the line. You call the psychic. You having some issues, and you call the psychic to talk to you. Amen. I hope you're not spending your money on that stuff, are you? And you know, I used to hear it. I say, Lord, people will follow anything. Believe in it. I said, you know, I could make some money myself. I believe I could. I'm going to put 1-800 call Gary. Woo! And I'll just spend a little change. Just call Gary. I will tell you everything you want to hear. Amen, somebody. You know, it's just tricky. Don't be so gullible. Believe in everything. You call me. See, you call me on the phone. You 1-800 call Gary. And I'm going to tell you what you see. First of all, I hear your voice. I don't have to see you. I hear your voice. Let's say you're a young lady. I hear your voice. You can't tell a lot about people's voice. You hear your young lady. She called, well, this is Gary. I said, how you doing? What's your name? My name is Susie. I can tell you, okay, yeah, she sounds like she's in about her 30s, maybe her 40s or 50s. She said, well, yeah, I'm just having all of these problems. Well, first of all, I know when you call me, you got a problem. Amen, somebody. and if you're 30, you're a female, I know it's probably, and I'm talking to her, I said, yeah, I could see that you have, you stress, you have some problems. I said, I could see that you have a relationship problem. Most times you 30 or 40, 50, you got some relationship problem, right? Amen, somebody. I can tell you a whole lot about yourself. I can say, oh, you sound like you want to be in a strong relationship. And I can just go right down the line. I said, now look, then you need to deposit $5 more, and I'll tell you a little bit more. And even back here in the first century, people were being DC. Listen to what the scripture says, giving out himself that he was some great one to whom they all gave heed. From the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great, great power of God. And to him, they had regard because of a long time, he had bewitched them with sorceries. Verse 12, but when they believe, notice this, thank the Lord for sound doctrine. Thank the Lord for sound teaching. Pray to the Lord that your ears will be able to discern truth from error. And sometimes you just watch people long enough and it's going to be revealed what they're all about. Because most deceivers, their lives are raggedy. Most deceivers, they're doing something underhanded. And I don't care, sisters, if you dating somebody, don't give them everything they want in the first week of you dating them. Just stop, slow up, and take your time. Think like somebody who got some understanding, not as a child. Child, you can offer a piece of candy and he'll go anywhere you want him to go. Yeah, but that's a child. But us as adults, when Philip preaches, like when you hear sound, Philip preached sound doctrine. The Bible says, when they believed Philip preaching things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and although they had been bewitched, although they had been deceived, when you hear the truth, you can discern truth from error. Yeah, yeah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Yeah. And then Simon believed. See, some false teachers and deceivers, they know they're lying. Amen? Yeah, they know that what they're teaching is not the truth. And Simon did. Simon got baptized in the name of the Lord. Paul said, when I was a child, I understood as a child. Yeah, and the goal is maturity. And the Bible says that was a time that God winked at ignorance. God overlooked ignorance. Ignorance means you just don't know. Mm-hmm. Amen. That was a time that seemed like God, and now we have the complete word of God. We can read it for ourselves. And now as much information as we have now, we can look up anything. We can Google anything. I've had teenagers. I've had millennials to Google me while I'm preaching in church to verify what I'm saying is the truth. And many of them will tell me, I'll checking up on some of them stats you was given, and you were right on time. I say, I hope I was. So if they can tell when you're on time, they can tell you when you're not on time. You know what that is? That is maturing. That is maturing in your understanding, and that is making the effort. It don't just pop in your heads. Yeah. Can't be you. So what are you saying? Paul, what are you saying? I'm saying to the saints. I'm saying to those in the church. You can't be lazy and mature. Because even when you, listen, even when somebody is teaching the truth, you shouldn't be lazy. Yeah. I've been baptized into Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? Can you share what you did to be baptized into Jesus Christ? Oh yeah, I'm in the right church. I'm telling you, I go to the Church of Christ and they teach the truth over there. We teach nothing but the truth. Well, what's the truth? Well, you gotta go over there. Notice this, no shame. Now, first of all, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel is what saves you. I can't say the right word. That may be right. You might not be able to say the right word, but in your mind, you ought to be saying, listen, I need to at least learn how to summarize, how to be able, I need to try to do better myself. Amen. Amen. Help us, Lord. I thought as a child, I understood as a child. And finally, he said this in 1 Corinthians, he says this. It's still the same verse. It's all. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Yeah. Yeah. Children are so gullible. Yeah, they're gullible. See, in their minds, when your mind is not mature, you all kinds of things flood our minds. And Paul says, I thought as a child. My understanding was immature. Things popped in my mind. See, a child is very impulsive. And a child, they don't a lot of times think about the consequences of decisions that they make. You know, you make a decision just out of total impulse. Just do what the body, do what feels good. And sometimes you even hear children, teenagers make mistakes and they'll say somewhere, I didn't think it was nothing wrong. You know, when I was younger, I grew up in a home of grew up in the church, and so our home was pretty strict, pretty strict. Mm-hmm. Certain places we didn't even think about, but we went and we were sneaking after we got older. And I remember I was a pretty good kid. Now my brothers, y'all not taping this. It's not, you are taping it. It's just, but my brothers know I can only talk about myself. I don't like to talk about other people. I can tell the truth about myself. My brother sometimes, you just tell a whole lot of business. I say, well, it is what it is. But I remember that, you know, place I wasn't supposed to be going. And I went. And my mother said to me, my mother, sweet, 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 she said to me, she said, I'm surprised at you. I'm surprised because, I did right most of the time. And she said, I'm surprised that you would even think about doing that. And I said, you know, Mama, I didn't think nothing would happen. Anybody been there before?
Yeah,
you been there before?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but I remember when making the decision to go. It's like when I got there, I knew, I was like, okay, this don't look right. I knew I shouldn't be there. I knew something didn't look right. I knew in my mind I should have just went right back where I was supposed to be going. But I just, that's kind of what an immature mind would do.
Amen.
See, because a mature mind walks with his eyes open. Amen. A mature mind sees fire. And that looked like some fire. And a mature mind sees smoke. A mature mind sees looking around. A mature mind knows the environment. A mature mind knows who's there. A mature mind investigates. But an immature mind sees fire. See, that's some fire. A mature mind will see fire. A mature mind will see fire. I'm immature mind. See fire. Immature mind says, that look like fire. Immature mind says, that look fun. Immature mind, I wonder what fire feel like. Immature mind say, well, everybody else going to the fire. Immature mind will walk up and touch fire and get burnt up. Anybody been there? And Paul says to the church, to the saints, to the Christians, to the children of God, he says, when I was a child, I used to do that kind of stuff. And so we kind of all been in the same boat. Well, some of us, if we just testify and tell our story, we were just as ignorant as we could be.
And Paul says, I used to do that. But then he goes on to say, and I'm closing. He goes on to say, he says, when I became a man, this is generic. It's a man. This is men and women. So the Greek word is a generic term. It could be male or female. He says, when I was a man, and our goal is maturity. He says, I put away childish things.
And I just want to admonish us. This morning, I hope this is encouragement because see, you know, I've been in the church a long time and I asked the Lord for wisdom, for understanding. I hope I don't come off as a kind of preacher just holier than thou that you know better than, yeah, we know better, but we all are growing. But at the same time, some of us don't think about it. Some of us, we make too many excuses. Some of us, our language has not changed. Some of us, the things that we're doing. And we must put in our minds that we need to put away.
I
was telling, I don't know who it was I was talking to, but and I mean, maybe because of Phil was sad, I'm either attending a funeral, preaching a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we traveled out of town to a funeral and got back on yesterday evening. Every week, I have not missed a week attending, preaching a funeral, and I can't even remember when. And so, yes, I know maybe you have not. I'm speaking from a different perspective. I'm preaching from a different perspective. I have more of a sense of urgency. Every time I get up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. And today I'm trying to be better than I was yesterday. Can I say something to someone here this morning? My help, Lord, you see I'm walking down these stairs. I have to take my time. I've had replace hip, a replaced knee. I gotta have the other knee replaced, and so now. But you, I'm not the only one. So don't you be saying, "Oh, poor brother." I know some of y'all. I'm looking at you too. I had eye surgery about a month ago, so my left eye. Those on this side, I can't even see you. Kirby, we get no Kirby. You get no. what are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm just saying this. Time don't stand still for nobody. There was a time that I would, as a young person, like my grandkids right here, they don't know. See, I wish we could stay this little a whole lifetime. But it's not going to happen, is it? And as we grow older, those of you that's in the Lord's church, some problems we put on ourselves by the way we speak, by the way we understand, by the way we are thinking. You know what we're doing? We're speaking and understanding and thinking like a child. And we need to push ourselves to grow in the Lord and demonstrate to others and to God, because we are trying to be a light in this world and lead others to Christ, because we are dying every single day.
Amen.
So if you are a Christian, just pray and ask the Lord, please help me to grow. Help me to seek you.
Yep.
Help me to seek your will. If you are not, if you're not a Christian, it's the best life.
Amen.
I mean, it's the best life for us to live while we're on this. Whether you're living for God or living for the devil, life is going to be tough on you.
Amen.
Amen.
I know that's right.
But if you're not a child of God, it's where our blessings are. It's where the instruction is. It's where we can read the Bible and judge whether or not we're living for God and doing what's right and speaking to our spouses right and trying to raise our children. The Bible has all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's the best life for us. And if you're not a Christian, you need to do that today. Jesus said when he was on this earth, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Yeah. The world is tough on us. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by
the word of God.
The word of God. That's where we get our undeniable belief that God is, that Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross for all of our sins from the word of God. Over and over again, he's taught Jesus came to die for our sins, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Notice this. He is a rewarder of those who... That's to us. See, for those who diligently... Not that you are perfect, but that we are every day continually working on ours. Thank the Lord that I don't have to be at the same level that you are, but God knows my level. Diligently seek him. And that's all I'm trying to do every day, is to diligently seek the Lord.
Right.
You know, when you was a child, you prayed the prayer, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord
my soul
to keep. That's a child's prayer. But I'm not saying it's a child. It's a prayer that you were taught. Now, you've been in the church, you've been a Christian for 20 years. You still saying that same prayer? Look, my prayers, Brother Stripe, I pray everywhere.
Amen.
I pray in the car.
There you go.
I pray in the room. My wife and I, we pray every day somewhere. We pray together. Well, sometimes we're in the car. I pray in the closet. I pray when before they're giving the Lord's Supper, I'm praying. Lord Jesus, clear my mind. Help me not to think about this person that's getting on my nerve, so I can think about you while you're dying on the cross for my sins. I do pray that sometimes I come to church. And before I get out, this happened, and this don't happen at Hollywood, but it happened to you. I've come to church in the parking lot, pulling up sometime, and somebody will stop me. Somebody will say something to me. Somebody will say the wrong thing to me before I get in the building. And I say, Lord Jesus, clear my spirit. My prayers, I pray. How often do you pray? Is your prayer life the same as it was? I pray, ooh, Lord, I pray for these grandbabies. Lord, protect them. I pray for these boys. Lord, keep him a boy. Help the boys to stay boys. Come and on, the girls preacher. To stay girls.
Come on,
preacher. Amen. Somebody, I can preach a whole sermon on that.
Yes, you could.
I pray that. Yes, Lord. I pray, Lord, don't let my wife get crazy and leave me. We'll be married 40 years in June. And y'all laughing, but I just see so much stuff now. Y'all laughing because I'm a preacher, so people call me with stuff. We've been married 40. Somebody called me, been married 46 years. And sister called me, she said, I can't tell you what she said. She said, I'm through with it. I said, what? 46 years? But you know, 46 years can be H-E-L-L if it's 46 H-E-L-L years. I know that. But I just, because I experienced it, I said, Lord, keep Sister KB. Don't let her go crazy on me. And don't let me go crazy on her.
Amen.
Amen. That how you pray? You a preacher. You're not alone. You need to worry about yourself. God is good. Lord have mercy. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13:3-5, I tell your neighbor, except unless you repent yourself, so likewise perish. Notice this, all of these passages that we've heard for years and years, notice, repentance starts in the mind. It's a changed mind. That's what the devil wants, our minds. If you're willing to confess, now that's humility. You're willing to confess, you acknowledge with your mouth what your heart believes. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. It's still God's trying to get us to the point where we humbly come before him, acknowledging that he is the master. He's the teacher. He's the one that can get us through any situation. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. He says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus on my side.
Amen.
When I stand before God, I want Jesus to say, that's one of your hours, Lord. Let him come in.
Amen.
He used to curse. He used to do all of that stuff, but he confessed his sins. He got grace with you, and Lord, he got better. Let him come on in here. Boy, if we could testify and tell folk where we been. It don't matter who you are. Don't look at somebody. Well, but I wish I was like Brother Kirk. You need to wake up and say on yourself. And say, listen, even after the preached word, don't you uphold no preacher, nobody up high than God hold them up.
Amen.
Oh, Brother, he a good preacher. I'm good today. You don't know me tomorrow. Don't put all your faith in me. Or nobody else. Put it in God.
Amen.
As soon as I fall, there you go falling right along with me.
Uh-huh.
Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of. This is how you get into Christ Jesus, those that's not in Christ.
Amen.
Be baptized in water for the remission, for the forgiveness. See, that's what you want to do before you leave this place, to get your sins covered
by
the blood of Jesus Christ. And if I could leave you with something, it would be this. Is that that's why I'm to the point now, I believe, let me stay humble, is that I'm going to stay with the Lord until, if all y'all stop serving the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what I've determined in my mind. I know the church. I know leadership. I know things go on in the church. But I'm going to keep my faith in God. Because see, if your faith is in the Lord, then you can make mistakes. And even after reading the Bible and studying the Bible, and knowing what you need to do, knowing when you need to be doing it, we still are human beings.
Amen.
And we still fall. You would think somebody been in church this long. I hope I'm not overtime. I know I'm. I don't preach this long when I'm in the field for it. Most of the time. But I'm about through. Is that even when we know to do right, we still fall. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God who, when we make mistakes, if we humble ourselves and simply ask the Lord for forgiveness, if we confess our faults, the scripture says he's faithful. He's faithful to forgive us of all of our faults. And so after all is said and done, we all will be saved by the grace of God. That's why you need to, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus, that's the main reason why you need to be. Because even on your deathbed, after all the wrong you've done, if you are a servant of God and you humble yourself to the Lord and ask the Lord for forgiveness, the scripture said he's faithful to forgive us of all our sins. Somebody need to come to Jesus. If you have a prayer request, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, O evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power, in the precious blood.